Brother David, if you would lead us in a word of prayer, please. Yes, Jesus. Yes. Help us. Yes. Amen. If you have your Bible, let's go to the book of James. Last time we met, we were reading in verse 5. God's Word said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I want us to think just for a minute how that we have such a God and a Savior and we don't turn to Him or we don't use Him like He'd have us to use Him. We listen to what the Scripture says here. He says, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, we're not talking about a earthly wisdom here. We're talking about a godly wisdom. Wisdom that can be found true and steadfast, something that we can use every day of our life. We're not talking about how that man might think. But God is telling us that He wants to give us His wisdom and lead us and guide us in all directions of our life. And that is something that we need on a daily basis. We want to look sometimes too far down the road, and sometimes not far enough, but we don't even have a promise of tomorrow. So we should live right now in this present time, and while we're here in this present time, constantly seeking the Lord. Constantly seeking the Lord. He says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now listen to what the Scripture says. He said, giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And that sounds to me like the Lord wants you to have wisdom. Because He says here, He said, I'm going to give it to you liberally. He said, I'm not going to hold it back. He said, if you will ask me for it, He didn't say I might give it to you. He said, I could give it to you, but He said, it shall be given to you. And if you look around you in this world that we're in today, we're lacking some wisdom, people. Everybody, if you don't slow down long enough to look around you, everybody's got it in their mind. I know all I need to know. Some of us know more than what we need to know. But God's talking to us about His wisdom and how important God's wisdom is. Let me read you some scripture out of 2 Peter. Chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, listen to what the Scripture says, that we are given exceeding great and precious promises. And God's not going to lie to us. The promise that God has made to us, He's going to keep. He's going to keep those promises. He said that by these ye might be partakers of the... Now listen to what it says. That ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now we said a while ago we're talking that God wants us to have a godly wisdom. Not an earthly wisdom. He wants to give us His wisdom so that we can live and move and operate in this world that we live in today. So here the Bible, Peter writing here, he said that we might be partakers of the divine nature, or the nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now listen, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Once again, we're not talking about an earthly knowledge or an earthly wisdom. We're talking about a godly knowledge, a godly wisdom. And to godliness, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love, said, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now listen to the Scripture. Now he said, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Listen to what the Bible says. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here Peter is telling us to our faith add virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity or love. God wants us to have wisdom and knowledge in this old world below. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 8, he said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we listen to what the Lord is saying here. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. So we're to seek the Lord, seek His wisdom, seek His knowledge, and seek His ways. This is in our everyday life. Every part of the day that our heart is beating, we need to be seeking the Lord and seeking His ways and seeking His wisdom for our life. We need that in our everyday living. What's happened to us is we've got so far along and are so blessed that we don't think about these things or slow down to consider them. Every now and then we need to come to a stop and say, wait just a minute. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Now what does that mean? He said, now Brother Lee, are you trying to say that we just stay on our knees in prayer all the time? I'm not saying that, but you can pray without ceasing as you go through this whole life. I mean, you can be doing something during the day and somebody come to your mind or to your heart that you know that needs prayer for whatever the reason, whether it be sickness, trouble, whatever it is, come to your mind, you say, Lord, remember them. Then you're praying without ceasing. You're seeking the Lord for that other person. We need to be seeking the Lord for ourselves in our everyday life that we live all the day long. We talk about certain things. We say, well, now, one of the problems today is, or this is the problem we have today. But if you take all the problems that's in this world today and you put them in one big pile, it's going to come to one thing is where everything's leading or coming from. And that is because people don't want God and they don't want Jesus. They don't want nothing to do with God or nothing to do with Jesus. And the reason that is they've got so far along they think they don't need Him. There's no need for God. There's no need for Jesus. I'm self-sufficient. I can take care of everything. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. And that's what's going on in this whole world today. And that's the reason that we need the wisdom of God and the guidance of God in our lives every day that we live, every part of the day, all day long. We need to be calling on the Lord and seeking the Lord for His wisdom, His guidance, and His help. Because we need it. If we really slow down and look at ourselves for what we are, we're going to see that we're in need all the day long. When you really stop and think about it, there is nothing that we can do without God. Nothing. I've shared this with you before. I've always been the kind of person that I thought I had to be in control of everything. I see my wife shaking her head. But I'm not in control. When my mom and daddy got old and got sick, I was going to help them doctors fix my mom and daddy. And I found out that it couldn't be done. I couldn't make things right no matter how much I wanted to make them right. I couldn't do it because I don't have no control of nothing. Those of you who have young children, those of you who have grandchildren, and you want them to do better than what you did, or you don't want them going through something that you went through. You don't want them facing those things, and you try to talk to them. But how good are they about listening? How good are they about listening? I said listening, not hearing. Remember what I said one time before? You hear with your ears, but you listen with your heart. If you hear with ears, a lot of times it just goes straight through. You won't listen, it just goes straight on through. There's not a whole lot in there to stop it. I know there's a lot of people in this world say, I got plenty up here, but listen, you ain't going to prove it by me. If you get too close to some people, you can hear the wind whistling. But we think about that and stuff. You know, when you think about it, we don't have any control. We really don't, but I know one who is in control. And I know one who loves me enough that I can turn to Him and I can pray to Him and call upon His name. And if it is His will, if it is His will, He will hear and answer my prayer. We need God's wisdom. We need God's guidance. We need His hand upon us every day of our life. Let's go to 1 Kings in chapter 3, and we touched on this last time a little bit, but I want to look at this again. 1 Kings in chapter 3, begin with verse 5, and this is Solomon. Solomon had just become king. He'd just become king. Now, we talk about the Lord's Prayer, but I want you to look at this. Now, see, we've talked about this before because so many times we'll pick God's Word up to read it. And you know what the devil loves to do? He loves to distract us. Because you'll be reading God's Word, He'll pull your mind another way. And all you'll be doing is reading words and you'll never hear what God is saying to you. Because this Bible is a talking book. And if you will listen to God's Word and heed God's Word, God will talk to you out of this Bible through the Holy Ghost. He will talk to you just like we're talking now. Been through it too many times. I know it to happen too many times. I've seen it too many times for this old world to try to stray or lead me off to say there is no God. Been there too many times. And we talk about the Lord's Prayer and how the disciples told the Lord, said, teach us to pray. But I want you to listen to this prayer right here that Solomon prayed. And I want you to notice parts of this prayer and how these things are. The Bible says in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto my servant, thy servant, David my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now that's reading words. That's reading words. But listen to what these words are saying. Because if you'll pay attention to what these words are saying, God will teach you how to pray out of His Word. What did Solomon do? God asked him. He said, ask me what I shall give thee. And Solomon began to pray. And listen to what he prayed and how he prayed. He said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy. The first thing he starts doing is telling God what he has done for him and his family and thanking him. For what does the Bible say? He said, thou hast showed my father great mercy. Great mercy. He's thanking him for the mercy that he has showed upon him and his family. See, we take too many things for granted. If we were raised in a Christian home, we have something to be thankful for. If your children are being raised in a Christian home, they have something to be thankful for. We don't slow down long enough to take a look at what's going on around us. Here Solomon said, thou hast showed great mercy according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness of heart. And how did David walk? Said he walked with you, Lord. He said, walk with thee. And thou hast kept for him, now listen, this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. He said, you've showed him this great kindness. So once again, here we see Solomon thanking the Lord for what he has done for him and his family. He said, I want to thank you for your mercy. I want to thank you for your kindness. So you see these things and how it's done. So when we pray, we need to thank God for what He's done for us day by day, step by step, because He's been with us all the way. He's been with us all the way. He's blessed us, and He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. Now listen. He said, now, O Lord, my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Now what is Solomon doing here? Solomon is humbling himself before God, and he's telling God the facts of life. He's telling him the facts of life here in this verse. He said, you've made me king. What kind of man was Solomon according to God? In God's eyes, what did he say? He said, you've made thy servant. He said, Lord, I'm your servant. Would you listen to what he was saying there? He said, I'm your servant. And said, you've made me king. Now let me tell you something about that. Wherever you're at in life, regardless of where you're at, God has moved you along to that point. You may say, well, the Lord must be mad at me. But I'm telling you that God blesses us on a daily basis. The Bible says He sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. He blesses the lost and the saved. But we don't want to slow down long enough to see that. We don't want to see that. But God has touched us and richly blessed us. And here Solomon said, he said, I'm your servant, God, and you've made me king. And he said, I am but just a little child. He said, I don't know how to go out or come in. And what Solomon was saying there, he said, Lord, I ain't got enough sense to come in out of the rain. So now Solomon just told him a flat out facts of life. He said, Lord, I know me, and I know how I am, and I ain't got enough sense to come in from outside. In other words, he was saying, Lord, I can't do one thing without you. He said, I can't go out, I can't come in, I can't do anything without you, I can't make it in this life, I can't make it in this world without you. He thanked Him, He praised Him, and humbled Himself before God. God can't do anything with a proud person. Because a proud person won't bow. And when you're in the presence of God, you need to bow. Get on your knees because you're not worthy. I'm not worthy. None of us. To come into His presence. And yet He's allowing us to do that day by day by day to come to a throne of grace because of what His Son Jesus did on an old rugged cross, and that He bled and died on an old rugged cross that we might live. That we might live. Not only us, but the world. I love what John the Baptist said when he saw Jesus come to the River Jordan. I quote it and quote it and quote it. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He did not say the sins of the ones who would ask to be the Savior. He said the world. When Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, He paid for every sin that was ever committed. There was nothing short on that cross. Not one part of that cross failed. He paid for every sin that had ever been committed in this world. And the problem is this whole world doesn't want Him. Could be free, set free by a man who gave his life on an old rugged cross. Solomon thanked the Lord for His mercy, His kindness. He humbled himself before Him. He told Him the facts of life. He said, Lord, I'm king, but I'm not worthy to be king because I don't know nothing about being king. I can't do it. I can't do it. Listen, He said, and thy servant, once again, thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. He said, you've made me king, not just king, but you've made me king over your people. Your chosen people, God, you've made me king over them. And here I am sitting, but just a child over this kingdom. And I don't have the sense to take care of them. He said, God, I need some help. He said, give. He didn't say, I've got. He said, give. Because before the Lord can help you, you've got to realize that what you're needing, you ain't got. Because what we need is from God. In every part of our living, every part of our day, what we need is from God. We need, and He's seeking wisdom here. He's seeking wisdom. He said, you made me king over your people. He said, you want me to see after this people. He said, Lord, I'm your servant. And I got to have some help. So He said, give. Not that I've already got, but He said, give. Therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Listen, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? He said, who, Lord, is able? He said, there's no one that's able to do this. There's nobody that's able to do this. God, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. He told him, just like it was, just like it was, does God hear us? Does God listen to us? You better believe He does. You better believe He does. Listen to what the Bible says. He said, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. Solomon's prayer. He thanked the Lord for what He had done, for the mercy, for the kindness. He humbled himself before God, told Him He was His servant, told Him there's nothing that I can do within myself. He said, you've put me in this position. He said, Lord, now you've put me in this position. Said, you've given me this responsibility, but Lord, I can't do it. I've got to have you to do it. And that's all God wants us to do is get out of His way and let Him do. Because I said earlier, we can't do anything. We don't have no control over nothing. We don't have any control over nothing. Can you control your temper? I mean, you think about it. We don't have any control over anything. We never know from one day to the next if the Lord blesses us to live to see it, what's going to slap us in the face. That's the reason you better be careful about wanting. Now listen. Because you're not a judge. You're not. Sometimes we want to be. We want to be a judge. But we're not a judge. We're not a judge. So you better be careful when you start wanting to judge somebody because you never know what tomorrow is going to put on your doorstep. You better be careful. You better think. You better think soberly. You better seek God's wisdom. God's guidance, God's love. These things we need to seek. The Bible says the speech pleased the Lord. Now what do we want to do? We need to be pleasing to the Lord. Now that's hard to do because this old flesh is going to get in the way. Now let's just talk about it honest. Now this old flesh is going to get in the way. It's going to get in the way. It's with us. I'm looking forward to the day when I can lay this old fleshly man down and the sins that's in this old flesh are left behind me and there'll be no more, Brother David. Be no more sinning. Be no more falling flat on my face. Be no more, Lord, forgive me because I've failed you again. I've failed you again. Every day that we live, it pleased the Lord for this speech. And now listen. Says, well, go, does God hear our prayers? And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, you asked for my guidance to rule my people. He said, I made you king. You tell me you're my servant. I've made you king over my people. Now you're telling me you want to have understanding and wisdom so that you can govern this people, an understanding heart. He said, you've asked this thing, now listen, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. He said, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. He prayed in accordance with God's will. He prayed in accordance with God's will, and God heard his prayer. He was pleased with his prayer. Now let me tell you something there before we go any further. God is not a wishing well. Jesus taught us to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was God in the flesh. The Bible says in the book of John, Philip told Jesus, said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long a time with you, and hast thou not known me? Now here Jesus was in this old world, God in the flesh. He told Philip, he said, Philip, have I been so long a time with you and you have not known me? This was God. This was God in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And this is one of them things, the stuff that you need to read and pay close attention to and listen to what the Son of God was saying there in the garden. There's another example of teaching us how to pray. He was God in the flesh, and he prayed this prayer. He said, God, all things are possible unto thee, if it be thy will. He told him, all things are possible unto thee, if it be thy will. And he said, if it be thy will, if it be thy will, let this bitter cup pass from me. Now the first thing that Jesus told God, he said, all things are possible. And if it's your will, let this bitter cup pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will be done. That's another example for us in our prayer life. That we learn to pray to God in accordance with His will. Now God's Word tells us that all things are possible to Him. There's nothing. Listen, I don't care if you're dead in the casket. If the Lord wanted to set you up in that casket, He'd set you up. Now I'm just telling you the way Lee believes. So you're never going to find me saying, well, the Lord can't do it. I don't believe that way. I'm not going to be surprised by what God does. Because I look for things to happen. I was taught that way as a small child. I grew up believing that. And I still believe it today. I've shared this with you before about my mama. My mama had a goiter in her throat. The doctor done treated her with medication and everything else, and there that big goiter was in her throat. Surgery was the next option. Used to on Sunday morning, there's either some kind of gospel singing or some kind of preaching on the TV. I'm talking about sure enough real singing and real preaching. And this particular preacher, he would always reach out to the audience at the end of the show. And say, if you've got something in your life you need prayer for, let us pray. And Mama was in the kitchen. I told Mama, I said, Mama, if you'll come in here and pray, I said, the Lord will heal that goiter. Mama come in there just boo-hooing. Got on her knees in front of the TV and she started praying. Now, my Mama was not a quiet person. She'd get loud when she prayed. You know Mama was praying. You know she was serious with the Lord. And her heart was in the right place with the Lord. And the Lord sees your hearts and He knows your intentions. And He knows who you are. And Mama got up from there, went back to the doctor, and that big goiter that was hanging on the throat was gone. And he told Mama, he said, Oh, and I don't know what happened to it or where it went. But it's not there anymore. So we're not going to have to worry about cutting on you or any more medicine. But see, there was a 6-year-old boy that know where that garter went. That God removed that garter by His power and by His strength. So whatever God does is not going to surprise me. Because all power is in His hands. It's in His hands in this whole world. This world may want to say, oh God, sure, but God is still God. He's still on the throne. And I want you to listen to how odd God is. The Bible says the prayer pleased Him, and He's told Solomon, He said, behold, I have done. He said, I want you to take notice, Solomon. Pay attention to your heart. Because there's going to be some things start coming out of your heart that you ain't going to understand, Solomon. Said, you're going to be so smart, it's going to be unreal. Said, you're going to be shocked. Because I put my hands on you, Solomon. He said, behold, I have done according to thy words. I've given thee a wise, understanding heart. And there's not going to be nobody like you before you or after you. But what a gracious and a merciful and loving God that we have. I want you to listen to the Scriptures. And He said, and I have also given thee which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. He says, Solomon, you didn't ask for this, but you're going to get it. It's a little bit of a bonus. It's like a Cracker Jack box. You got a toy in it. You ain't going to have to dig and hunt it, he said, because I'm going to lay it on you. What did the Bible say in the book of James? He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give us how? He said, liberally, abundantly. Have you ever slowed down long enough to notice about the blessings of God in your life? I don't care what kind of struggle, what kind of trouble we're going through. God has richly and abundantly blessed us all. He's blessed us all. He's given us all. Have you ever thought where you could be without Him? Where you could be without Him? A lot of people come in a store and people ask them, say this to them, say, how are you doing today? And they'll say, I'm above ground and that's better than the alternative. And I told a guy, I said, not if you're ready to go. I said, not if you're ready to go. I said, let me tell you something. See, that gives me a chance to sort of raise my head up just a little bit and brag on the Lord. Because most people don't want you bragging on the Lord. Somebody asked me one more, said, Lee, what you know good? I said, Jesus, the only thing I know good. He said, well, you don't know nothing then. That's what he told me. He said, you don't know nothing. And I told him, I said, I know all I need to know to get home. I said, you hear what I'm telling you? I said, this whole world is not our home, people. We're leaving one way or the other. It's either to heaven or it's to hell. There's no in-between place for it. This whole world wants to leave that out, but I am telling you, there's no other place but those two things. We have loved ones here in this old world. And for the sake of them, it's just like what Paul said. For me to die is gain. But he said, because of you, it's needful for me to stay here. He was talking to the churches. He said, you have need that I'm here to continue my work in the Lord as long as the Lord wants me here. But anybody ever says, you know, and stuff that for us individually, if you're saved by the grace of God, washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, that being above the ground is better than the alternative, they're not thinking clear. They're not thinking clear. But here, God was pleased with that speech. He was pleased with Solomon's request. And listen, he went further than what Solomon asked him for. He said, I'm going to load you up with riches and honor. So I'm going to load your wagon. I said, what the Bible said in the book of James. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom liberally. And I'm not going to upbraid it. I'm not going to hold it back. I'm going to give it to you liberally. Just in abundance. If you ask me for it. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to tell you, I need it. I need it. And making decisions in this old world that we live in, we need a godly guidance and a godlike wisdom. Now, we've looked at something right here. We've talked about this right here and how that Solomon pleased the Lord seeking for God's wisdom. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy. This is familiar scripture. We hear it a lot this day. But I want us to look at it. This is the other side of the coin. Now here we've just read about a man, Solomon, who was seeking the wisdom of God to guide and direct God's people. And now we're going to look at the other side of the coin of the world and how the world and how their wisdom is. Bible says, Paul writing to this young minister Timothy, he said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Have you ever seen a day and a time when people were so crazy about themselves, so self-centered? I'm talking about so self-centered, they could care less. Anything, just crazy about themselves, won't deny themselves anything. Covetous. That's wanting what somebody else has got. Never satisfied. Somebody got a bigger house, I want a bigger house. Somebody got a newer car, I want a newer car. Somebody got a pile of money, I want a pile of money. Always wanting what somebody else has got. Let me read you some scriptures out of Hebrews chapter 13. Right quick. Verse 5, it said, let your conversation or your living be without covetousness. He said, let it be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now listen to what the Bible says. He said, let your conversation be without covetousness, wanting what somebody else has got. And be content with such things as ye have. Now listen to what the scripture says, as ye have. Let me tell you something, people. Let me tell you something about that having part. You ain't got nothing. I ain't got nothing. You hear what I'm telling you? As ye have. We talked a while ago, the Bible says that the Lord sends His rain on the just and on the unjust. It's the same way with God's blessing. God blesses man. The problem with man is man thinks that what he thinks he's holding in his possession is his. But I've never seen nobody at the cemetery burying a mansion or a vault full of money. I've never seen that at a cemetery. And if these things that we have are truly ours, why are they left behind? We ain't got nothing. You better listen to what I'm telling you. What you have has been given and blessed to you by the Lord above. Never think any different about that. Never think any different because what you have, you are blessed with God by it. We don't own anything. We don't have anything. And the Bible tells us to be content with such things as we have. I don't care how low down the totem pole you are, or think you may be, because sometimes we put ourselves lower down than what we really are. It can be worse. It can be worse. He said, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now let me tell you something. If you are saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ,
And God has said, I'm never going to leave thee nor forsake thee, but I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. What else do you need? Listen, this is talking about just like having a daddy that's got everything in the world in his hands and he's right there with you all the time. What are you lacking? I know this old world is a cruel and mean and cold place. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not selling anything short. But I'm telling you who's with you and who's caring for you and who's going to take care of you. Now, because he's saying, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can you say that about yourself with God? Can you say, I've never strayed, I've never turned my back on God? Can you remember a time that He's ever forsaken you? Or did you find Him right there every time you got on your knees and said, Lord, I've sinned and I've done wrong. Forgive me. Forgive me. And that's the reason the Bible says here, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Brother Mike, I'm going to stop right there tonight.